I mean, it is just wild to think about. In February of 2026, you had a single amateur hacker sitting in a bedroom somewhere, and they managed to bypass the enterprise-grade firewalls of, get this, 600 global companies, and they did it in just 38 days.
Yeah, 38 days. It's really staggering when you look at the timeline.
Right. And the craziest part is that this person didn't write like a single line of malicious code. They didn't uncover some secret backdoor. They just used commercially available AI and, well, the internet's most embarrassing human habit.
It really is the glaring paradox of 2026. You know, like we build these incredibly sophisticated neural networks, these vast engines of computation, and they essentially spend their time pointing out that a Fortune 500 company forgot to change a password from admin123.
Exactly. So welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to really unpack this and equip you with the knowledge to navigate this bizarre new reality. We are pulling from a few different sources for this.
Yeah, we've got a massive industry overview titled Cyber Siege 2026, The Rise of AI-Driven Warfare.
Right. And also in an internal AWS threat analysis by CJ Moses, plus the newly released Tech and Defense Playbook, which is basically a guide on how to actually survive all of this.
Because the landscape has just fundamentally shifted. We're looking at a situation where the barrier to entry for global cyber destruction has, I mean, completely collapsed.
But as you'll hear by the end of this conversation, the shield against it is actually surprisingly accessible. But first, let's look at two totally wildly different case studies today.
Right. The first one is that bedroom amateurs scaling their reach to impossible levels. And the second is a fully funded, state-sponsored intelligence group using AI to just manufacture malware at a terrifying velocity.
Okay. So to really understand how absurd this paradox is, we have to look at what happened this past February with FortiGate. This is detailed in that AWS report you mentioned.
Right. The CJ Moses report.
Yeah. And the numbers, I mean, I was trying to wrap my head around them. One Russian-speaking amateur, 38 days, 55 countries, over 600 firewalls breached. How does a solo operator even pull off a synchronized global campaign like that?
Well, the short answer is they don't. The AI does it for them.
Right.
But to really grasp the mechanics here, we have to look at what the AI was actually exploiting.
Yeah.
And the most crucial detail in the AWS report is that absolutely zero-day vulnerabilities were used.
Wait, okay, jump in here for a second. So they hacked 600 firewalls. Mm. Wasn't there a flaw in FortiGate's software? Wasn't the software broken?
No, not at all. FortiGate's firewall software was actually doing its job perfectly. There were no 0 days, meaning no secret unpatched flaws in the code.
Oh, wow. Okay, so if the front door is locked and, you know, made of solid steel, how is an amateur just walking right through it hundreds of times over?
Basically, they used the maintenance hatch. Specifically, IT departments were leaving management ports exposed to the public internet.
Management ports? Like, what is that in plain English?
Think of a management port like a service entrance to a massive bank vault. It's designed for the architects, like the network administrators, to log in remotely, run diagnostics, maybe fix some issues.
Right, so it's for the staff.
Exactly. It is never, ever supposed to be accessible from the public street. But through misconfiguration, or honestly just sheer laziness, hundreds of companies left these service entrances facing the public web.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and they were protected only by factory default passwords.
So the bouncer was literally asleep at the wheel. It's like a burglar who doesn't need to know how to pick a master lock, right? They just bought a cheap robot that can check 10,000 doorknobs a second to see which ones were left wide open.
That is exactly what it is. And the AWS report actually breaks down the AI's role in getting through those doors into three phases. Phase one is automated reconnaissance.
Right, because historically, scanning the entire global internet for one specific open port would take a human hacker, what, weeks of tedious pinging?
Oh, at least weeks. Just sequential pinging, one by one. But AI changes the math completely through parallel processing and intelligent targeting.
So it's not knocking on every door sequentially.
No. Instead of knocking on every door in the city one by one, the AI uses massive compute power to scan entire blocks simultaneously. It cross-references global IP registries, figures out which addresses are likely to host enterprise firewalls.
And it filters out the noise.
Exactly. It filters out all that noise in hours instead of weeks.
That is terrifying. Okay, so once it finds an exposed management port, it moves to phase two, which the report calls smart credential stuffing.
Yeah.
And I need you to unpack this because the source says the AI tested passwords based on success probability.
Right.
How does a machine know the probability of a password working for, say, a specific hospital in Chicago or some logistics company in Berlin?
This is where AI drastically outpaces traditional brute force hacking. Like, a traditional script just guesses A, B, C, or runs down a standard dictionary list of common passwords.
Which is noisy, right?
Very noisy. It trips security alarms, and the system just blocks it. The AI, however, contextualizes the target. It'll quietly scrape LinkedIn to find the company's naming conventions.
Wait, really? It checks LinkedIn?
Oh, absolutely. It pulls local cultural references, maybe local sports teams or regional keyboard layouts. It'll even cross-reference massive databases of previously leaked passwords associated with that specific industry or that specific city.
Wow. So it's essentially building a psychological profile of the IT guy who set up the firewall in the first place?
Exactly that. It generates this highly probable custom dictionary for that specific target. So maybe it figures out the IT department uses AcmeDmin 2026 as a standard template. So it tests the top five most probable passwords, slips in quietly, and completely bypasses the login screen before the system's automated lockout thresholds even register that an attack is happening.
That is just nuts. And once it's inside, the speed is ruthless, right?
What?
Because phase three is automated post-exploitation. The millisecond the AI clears the login, it dumps the Active Directory.
Yes.
And for anyone listening who is unfamiliar, the Active Directory is essentially the master key wing of an entire corporate network. It lists every user, every computer, every permission level.
Grabbing the Active Directory is the digital equivalent of stealing the master blueprint of the building. You own everything at that point.
Right. And the AI didn't stop there. The report notes it immediately targeted the company's backup infrastructure, which is classic precursor behavior for ransomware.
Right. Because you have to destroy the backups first. That way, when you encrypt the main systems, the victim has absolutely no choice but to pay the ransom to get their data back.
There is a quote from Jeff Pollard at Forrester Research in the CyberSeed report that just synthesizes this perfectly. He says, AI will do more than surface novel attacks. It will also amplify the impact of all attacks. It lowers the barrier of entry and ups the potential consequences at the same time.
I mean, we're witnessing the democratization of cyber destruction. In the past, orchestrating a 600-target multinational breach required an entire syndicate.
Yeah, you'd need like recon specialists, access brokers, payload developers.
Exactly. And now you just need to know how to prompt a commercial AI and have a credit card to pay for the cloud computing power.
Which transitions us to a much, much darker scenario. Because if an amateur can do this with off-the-shelf tools, what happens when a highly sophisticated state-sponsored intelligence group weaponizes this technology?
Right. And the Cyber Siege report details exactly that with Operation Ololampo. This was launched in January 2026 by Muddy Water.
And Muddy Water is a group linked to Iran's Ministry of Intelligence, right?
Correct. And their initial focus was on the Middle East and North Africa, the MENA region. They were targeting highly strategic sectors. So we're talking maritime shipping, financial institutions, diplomacy, telecom.
Okay, so to give the full geopolitical context here, based on the timeline in our sources, on February 28, 2026, there was a joint U.S.-Israel strike on Iran-designated Operation Epic Fury. And following that specific event, Muddy Water significantly escalated their cyber operations to include U.S. companies.
Yeah, the timeline is very clear there.
Right. And by April, they were actively scanning over 12,000 systems.
Which, from a purely strategic standpoint, that escalation is a classic demonstration of capability. By indiscriminately scanning 12,000 systems across foreign aviation, energy, and government sectors, Muddy Water is sending a very clear message.
They're proving their reach.
Exactly. They are mapping the perimeter of critical infrastructure to say, we can touch this.
Well, the arsenal they're using to map that infrastructure is really what caught my attention. The AI-driven malware is startlingly complex. Like, the report highlights a tool called GhostFetch.
Ah, yeah. GhostFetch is fascinating.
It's a downloader, right. But it profiles your system before it does anything malicious. The report said it specifically checks your mouse movement to ensure it isn't detonating inside a security sandbox. Now, I've heard the term sandbox before, but what is the AI actually looking for here?
Okay, so think of a security sandbox, like a bomb squad's containment vessel.
Okay.
When your email provider or your antivirus detects a suspicious file, it will secretly open that file inside a highly isolated virtual environment.
Yeah.
That's the sandbox.
Right, so it's opening the bomb in a safe room to see what it does.
Exactly. It watches what the file does.
Yeah.
If the file tries to delete critical system folders or steal passwords, the sandbox catches it, flags it as malware, and destroys it before it ever reaches your actual desktop.
So the malware needs to know if it's in the real world or if it's stuck in the containment vessel.
Yes. And the thing about sandboxes is that they are entirely automated. They're machines talking to machines. There is no human being sitting there wiggling a physical mouse.
Oh, okay. I see where this is going.
Right. So GhostFetch uses AI to analyze the telemetry of the cursor. It looks for erratic, human-like jitters, the slight hesitation before a click, you know, the natural curve of a hand moving a physical mouse.
Wow. And if it doesn't see that?
If it detects cold mathematical stillness, it assumes it's in a sandbox and it immediately deletes itself to avoid leaving a forensic trail. It essentially plays dead.
That level of situational awareness in just a piece of code is chilling. And then you have HTTP VIP doing system recon and silently installing remote control software like any desk. But the centerpiece of this whole operation is a backdoor called CHR, right?
Yeah, 2HR is a truly formidable piece of engineering. It's written in the Rust programming language, which is incredibly fast, but also notoriously difficult for security researchers to reverse engineer.
Yeah, Rust is a nightmare to take apart.
It really is.
Yeah.
And Share establishes this hidden connection to compromised machines via Telegram bots. It executes PowerShell commands to alter system settings, and it silently exfiltrates browser data.
So I have to ask the question that came up for me when I was reading this section. How do researchers at companies like GroupIB actually know an AI wrote the CHR backdoor? I mean, the AI doesn't sign its name at the bottom of the script. It's just code, right?
Well, they found emojis.
Emoji? You're kidding. Yeah. Inside a state-sponsored cyber weapon.
Yes, specifically in the debug strings of the Rust code.
Okay, what is a debug string?
Debug strings are hidden lines of text that programmers leave behind to help them troubleshoot errors when they're building the software. The GroupIB researchers were dissecting CHR, and they literally found crying, laughing faces and thumbs-up emojis embedded in the fatal error logic.
Okay, you have to unpack why an AI would do that. Why is a hyper-advanced neural network leaving smiley faces at the scene of a crime?
It comes down to how large language models are trained. These models consume massive, massive amounts of human internet data to learn how to code. They read millions of pages of GitHub repositories, Stack Overflow forums, Reddit programming threads.
Oh, I see. And humans use emojis there.
Constantly. Human programmers constantly use emojis when they're discussing code or joking about bugs or leaving comments for their teammates.
So the AI absorbs the culture of the programmers, not just the syntax of the code itself.
Yes, exactly. So when the AI is tasked with generating thousands of lines of new complex code on the fly, it occasionally hallucinates. It defaults to the patterns in its training data and just inserts these emojis into the hidden debug text.
That is wild.
It's a highly specific telltale pattern. It functions as the digital fingerprint of an AI-generated script.
That completely shifts the paradigm of the threat. The AI isn't just the delivery driver anymore, like we saw with the FortiGate amateur using it to guess passwords. The AI is the actual arms manufacturer.
Right. And you've hit on the most critical implication of this Cyber Siege report. Writing a backdoor like CHR in Rust, one that can actually evade modern detection, usually takes a team of highly skilled human engineers weeks, if not months.
Because they have to write the code, test it, find the bugs, rewrite it.
Exactly. It's bottlenecked by human endurance. But an AI doesn't have bottlenecks. Muddy Water can use AI to generate complex, bespoke variants of the CHR backdoor incredibly fast.
So if a security vendor detects version 1...
the AI can instantly compile version 2 with completely different underlying syntax, but the exact same malicious capability. This is known as polymorphic code.
Polymorphic code.
Yeah, it changes its appearance every single time it is deployed, making traditional signature-based antivirus software practically obsolete.
Okay, so let's summarize where we are. We have amateurs operating with the reach of nation states because the barrier to entry is gone. And we have nation states mass producing polymorphic weapons at a speed human defenders cannot possibly match.
Right.
I mean, for anyone listening to this, it sounds like an entirely unwinnable arms race.
Yeah, and honestly, that overwhelming feeling is incredibly common right now in the cybersecurity space. But this is exactly where we pivot to the tech and defense playbook.
The survival guide.
Yes. This document provides the counterbalance to everything we've discussed today. And frankly, it is the most empowering part of this deep dive. The solution to highly advanced AI-driven warfare is actually just basic fundamental cybersecurity hygiene.
I'm sorry, I have to push back hard on this. You are describing AI malware that analyzes human mouse movements to evade detection and rewrites its own code on the fly. And the defense playbook says the solution is basic IT support rules.
I know, it sounds ridiculous.
How does changing a password or clicking a setting actually stop a machine that thinks 10,000 times faster than I do?
It feels totally counterintuitive, but you have to look at the foundational mechanism of how offensive AI operates. AI relies entirely on a frictionless path of least resistance.
Frictionless.
Oh. Yeah. It executes a highly automated chain of events. It is incredibly fast, but it is also very rigid. If you break even one link in that chain, the AI's automated process fails.
Oh, because it's not a human trying to improvise.
Exactly. It doesn't pause to creatively problem solve like a human hacker would. It simply throws an error code and moves on to the next softer target.
Okay, so let's walk through the heavy hitters in the Tekken playbook. Step one, the absolute top priority, MFA, multi-factor authentication.
Yes, the playbook states explicitly that if MFA had been enabled, the entire 600-target FortiGate campaign would have collapsed.
Wow, just from MFA?
Yes, because the AI is brilliant at guessing passwords. It can generate that custom dictionary we talked about and guess your password in seconds. But an AI is pure software. It cannot reach through the digital void, pick up your physical smartphone, and tap approve on a secondary push notification.
Right. It creates a physical boundary that software fundamentally cannot cross. You are forcing a machine to interact with the physical world, which just breaks the automated chain instantly.
Exactly. It takes 60 seconds to set up, and it completely neutralizes the AI's speed advantage.
Okay. What about network segmentation? That's step seven in the playbook.
So this comes back to damage control. Let's use the analogy of a submarine. If a submarine is just one long hollow tube, a single leak sinks the entire vessel.
Makes sense.
That is what a flat network is in IT. Everything connects to everything. If the AI breaches a receptionist's laptop, it has a totally clear path to the Active Directory server.
But if you segment the network, you are basically building bulkheads in the submarine.
Yes. You isolate critical systems.
Yeah.
You put the Active Directory in its own sealed compartment. So the AI might breach the receptionist's computer, but when his automated script tries to leap over to the main server, it hits a cryptographic wall. The script fails, the alarm sounds, and the breach is contained to one single room.
The playbook also really hammers on closing ports and disabling macros. Step two is sealing up those management ports we discussed with FortiGate. And step four addresses macros. Why do groups like Muddy Water rely so heavily on malicious Excel and Word macros to deliver this AI malware?
Well, a macro is simply a tiny automated script embedded inside a document, usually designed to automate repetitive tasks like formatting. Muddywater uses AI to write highly convincing phishing emails, and they attach a Word document that requires the user to click, enable macros to view it.
And the moment you click that,
the macro reaches out and downloads the CHR backdoor. But if your IT department disables macros globally in the office settings, the payload physically cannot execute. The delivery mechanism is entirely neutered, no matter how convincing the email was.
Which brings us to the human element, which is step five. AI can write perfect phishing copy now, right? Like no more obvious spelling errors or strange grammar. Muddy Water specifically uses themes like unexpected flight tickets, internal company reports, or urgent invoices.
Right. The AI can synthesize perfect language, but it still relies on manipulating human psychology. It needs a human to feel a burst of panic or curiosity and click the link.
So the defense here isn't software. It's a procedural pause.
Exactly. If you receive an urgent invoice you weren't expecting, taking 30 seconds to call the sender and verify the context completely dismantles the AI's psychological trap.
It really is empowering to realize that the speed of the machine can be defeated by simply slowing down yourself. And, you know, our sources point out that AI isn't only working for the offensive side. The defense is arming up as well.
Oh, absolutely. AI is an incredible force multiplier for defenders. The Cyber Siege report highlights an incident from March 2026. An AI model called Claude Opus 4.6 was deployed to analyze the source code of the Firefox web browser.
And what did it find?
In just 2 weeks, it discovered 22 distinct vulnerabilities.
22 vulnerabilities in 2 weeks. That would take human researchers like a year to find manually.
Easily. Defensive AI uses symbolic execution and massive pattern matching to hunt for bugs. It works 247 without fatigue. It analyzes vast amounts of network traffic to detect the subtle, unknown patterns of polymorphic malware.
So threat actors are using AI to build weapons, but defenders are using AI to continuously patch the armor at the exact same speed.
Pray wisely.
So, bringing this all together for you, the listener, the ultimate takeaway from these reports is that 2026 was an inflection point. The barrier to entry for launching a global cyber attack has essentially vanished.
Yeah.
An amateur in a bedroom now wields the geographic reach of a nation state. And those nation-states are leveraging AI to churn out complex, shape-shifting malware at a terrifying velocity.
The scale of the threat has expanded exponentially, but the shield against it remains remarkably mundane.
It does. Your digital security is fundamentally your responsibility. The complexity of the attack does not require a complex defense. If you take nothing else away from this deep dive, take 60 seconds tonight to turn on multi-factor authentication for your critical accounts.
Absolutely.
Put a literal physical wall between your private data and a highly efficient robot. Break the automated chain.
And as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder. We discussed how AI is now generating malware at unprecedented speeds, while simultaneously, defensive AI is working 24/7 to patch vulnerabilities and hunt threats.
Right.
If both the sword and the shield are being wielded by artificial intelligence, how long until human hackers and human defenders are entirely pushed out of the loop? Are we rapidly approaching a future where cybersecurity is no longer a human endeavor at all, but an invisible light-speed war of AI versus AI, playing out silently inside our routers?
An invisible war moving far faster than we can even perceive. It is a staggering thought. Thank you for joining us as we unpack these reports. Stay curious. Take 60 seconds to secure your digital front door, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.